Chapter 61. The Clementinum, like so many of the stunning buildings of Europe, was erected to further the glory of the Christian God. Emperor Ferdinand I, in an effort to increase the presence of the Catholic Church in Bohemia in the 1500s, invited to Prague members of the growing Society of Jesus, the Jesuits, and offered them the city's finest real estate on which to build a Jesuit college. By the end of the century, the Jesuits' Clementinum, named after St. Clement, had become one of the largest building complexes in the land, second only to Prague Castle. Celebrated for its dedication to the sciences, the Clementinum University eventually included an astronomical tower that rose to 68 meters, a scientific library of thousands of books, and an ingenious meridian room, which used geometry and sunlight to indicate the precise time of noon every day, at which moment the official timekeeper would fire a cannon to mark midday for everyone in town. In modern times, the Clementinum functioned primarily as the seat of the Czech National Library and as a historical museum. Savvy tourists seeking the best views of Prague climbed the Clementinum's astronomical tower, their 172-step ascent rewarded by stunning vistas as well as an absorbing exhibit of 18th-century astronomical instruments. Hurrying up the road toward the museum, Robert Langdon gave no thought to the countless treasures within, instead focused solely on Catherine and the cryptic message that had led him here. As he passed the eastern gateway of Charles Bridge, Langdon realized he was on the exact same sidewalk he had run only a few hours ago. "I'm going in circles," he thought, "just like Catherine's goldfish." It was 9:55 a.m. when Langdon arrived outside the Clementinum's main entrance and began scanning the area for Catherine. She wasn't here, but to his surprise, he saw a family entering through the main doors. "The museum is open already?" Feeling a rush of hope that Catherine might be waiting inside, Langdon hurried through the doors into the welcome warmth of the lobby. He expected to find the museum nearly deserted at this early hour, but instead the lobby was bustling with tourists, many of them sitting atop suitcases while sipping coffee and eating donuts. The scene looked more like an airport lounge than the anteroom of a 16th-century Jesuit monastery. What in the world? A perky museum employee walked over to Langdon with a smile.
"Coffee?"
She held out a tray of coffee. Baffled, Langdon gratefully accepted the hot beverage, wrapping his frozen fingers around the warm paper cup. "Thank you. But what's happening here?" The woman nodded toward a banner on the wall. "Clementinum, now open at 7 a.m.
"New marketing initiative," she said cheerily. "Most U.S. flights arrive at 6 a.m., so tourists have hours to kill before they can check into their hotels. We offer a free airport shuttle, luggage check, coffee and donuts, et voila!" She motioned to the full lobby. "Whatever it takes to get you Americans into museums, right?"
She headed off. The comment would have been more offensive had Langdon not heard that one of Prague's most popular tourist attractions was now an underground shooting range where Americans could legally fire an exotic array of automatic weapons. Nonetheless, he now felt a piece of the puzzle slip into place. When Catherine sent her email, the museum was open. In addition, she would have had to walk directly past the entrance on her way to Dr. Gessner's lab. Did she step inside and attempt to summon me? Codex XL. Buoyed by the idea that Catherine might still be somewhere in this complex of buildings, Langdon scanned the teeming lobby for her thick, dark hair. He didn't see her and hurried to the ticket window to purchase a full-access ticket. The cashier seemed to study him a moment, almost suspiciously, but she issued his badge without question. Langdon adhered it to his sweater and hurried off through a series of ornate corridors toward his destination. Special Exhibition, Codex Gigas, The Devil's Bible. When he reached the library's grand entrance, a docent stopped him. After studying Langdon's badge, he affixed a red sticker to it.
"You have a 1-hour window, sir," the docent said. "Enjoy."
Langdon had forgotten that access to the Baroque library was restricted to hourly increments, meaning if Catherine had sent her email from inside, her allotted time would have long ended by now. Please still be here, somewhere. Langdon quickly strode through the doorway into what author Jorge Luis Borges had once called the most exquisite library in Europe. Even in Langdon's current state of distress, he still found the room utterly transfixing. It was a long, narrow chamber whose ceiling fresco was a divinely rendered pale blue expanse of sunlit heaven, complete with cherubim that seemed to hang weightlessly overhead. The trompe-l'oeil gave the impression that sunlight was pouring through the structure itself. Supporting the fresco, the library's walls were 30-foot-high bookshelves containing more than 20,000 editions dating back centuries. The unmistakable scent of vellum drifted down from the library's oldest editions on the second level, those with the white spines and red markings, accessible only by ascending a secret staircase to the library's wraparound balcony. The floor was an inlaid wooden parquet whose intricacy rivaled any Langdon had ever seen, including that of the Grand Gallery in the Louvre. Langdon stopped several paces into the quiet space, searching the large crowd for any sign of Catherine. Nothing. He headed farther into the ornate room, moving along its distinct procession of oversized antique globes that stretched down the middle of the floor, all the way to the far end of the hall. The globes were interspersed with signs bearing a symbol as self-evident as any Langdon could imagine. A no-smoking sign. Who lights a match in a room full of ancient books? As he moved deeper into the library, the main attraction came into full view, surrounded by visitors. The Devil's Bible. The colossal book was housed in a cube-shaped plexiglass viewing case so large that it looked more like an airport smoking lounge than a protective container. It was surrounded by a throng of quietly murmuring tourists who were taking photos and admiring the mysterious codex, which lay open to the iconic illumination of a demon in an ermine loincloth. As Langdon arrived, he barely glanced at the codex, instead scanning the faces in the crowd. "Are you here, Catherine?" Many of the visitors were still bundled up, some blowing in their hands. The Clementinum kept this library exceptionally cold, most would say uncomfortably so, as Catherine had commented yesterday. Langdon had explained that curators often cooled their most crowded exhibition halls to keep tourists moving through quickly, providing faster turnover. A crowd management tactic, he noted, that was later adopted by fast food restaurants. In and out. "Catherine?" Langdon called tentatively into the quiet crowd. Several visitors turned and gave him curious looks. A few of them did double takes as if they recognized him. Otherwise, no response. Maybe she's already come and gone? He scanned the crowd and then looked up at the deserted upper balcony. "Catherine Solomon!" he called again, louder now. A docent marched over and hushed Langdon with a finger raised to his lips. This was, after all, a library. Langdon nodded his understanding and quietly continued scanning the ornate room in all directions. After two complete turns, he had seen no sign of Catherine anywhere. His heart sank as he considered how large the city was and how little direction he had. "If you aren't here, where are you?" No sirens, Pavel thought as he skidded to a stop outside the Clementinum. His blue alert for Langdon had already generated four separate tips. A tram conductor near National Theater reported Langdon was moving north along the river. A cab driver near Virgin Mary Square spotted him entering the Clementinum. Clever hiding place, Pavel thought, bearing in mind how well the historian probably knew this building complex. It won't matter. I have eyes everywhere. Pavel hurried into the museum and showed Langdon's photo to the woman at the ticket booth, who shared not only that this man had purchased a ticket, but also the exact room in which he was almost certainly now standing. He's mine, Pavel thought, discreetly checking that his weapon was loaded and plunging into the museum. Baroknikhovna, he shouted to a docent in the main hallway. The Baroque Library, where is it?